Now, let's get into our word here. It's Psalm 107, verses 1 through 22. And it's a thankfulness of the steadfast love that redeems. And let's read through it. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they grew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man, and let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. And this morning's sermon is a four-part sermon. And the first one is Thanksgiving of the Redeemed. And the second one is Lost, Delivered, and Thankful. Third one is Imprisoned, Distressed, Released, and Thankful. And the fourth and last is Foolish, Hungry, Saved, and Thankful. And now we move forward. The chapters before the Psalm 107 is blessings, then turns to praises and thanksgiving to God, and the chapter after is praises and exaltation of God. When I first came to Christ in my own distress, I read a lot of Psalms before going to church. The Word of God is good, righteous, and true. Thanksgiving of the Redeemed, Psalm 107, 1 through 3. Our Lord, our God and King, He is true, faithful and loving God He is. By His providential saving grace, through an enduring love that saves in His redeeming power, bestow all praises, honor, and glory upon Him, worthy is our God. Believing in our God, giving thanks through a renewed strength in joy of His steadfast and enduring love. He is almighty, all-knowing, faithful, true, and righteous living God. His redemption through His blood, painted on the cross at Calvary, has freed us. And all those whom are redeemed from all points of the earth, give thanks and live in joyful thanks and praises in honor of true holy redemption in Christ Jesus. And that brings us to some scripture that I have found, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of his service is not only supplying the needs for the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. Being commissioned as believers, not only are we supplying the needs for the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. Let me start over. Being commissioned as believers, we sow his word, we take and live by his word, and share his goodness. He gives us a providential increase in our righteousness, resulting in thanksgiving to God. And next is some more scripture from Revelations, which is Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, and peoples, and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sit on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." This is a picture of us in redemption standing before the throne of God, glorifying and giving us a sincere thanksgiving to our God. And we move on to lost, delivered, and thankful. Just wandering in the desert wastes. This is verses 4 through 9. Just wandering in desert wastes is the sin that makes us go here and there with no pathway to a city to dwell in. A city that has food, water, and shelter for resting. This wandering is our conscience being led away by, in today's world, the internet, the media, video games, and electronic devices. The scene is especially true, especially today, Super Bowl Sunday. What are people doing? They're running around getting ready for this Super Bowl to take place, getting things ready for the Super Bowl party. Then another thing that's going on also is, in this time of the pandemic, where people isolate themselves from fear of getting infected and getting sick from the virus, and we turn to the internet and other things to be occupied and leading us to a deserted wasteland. And being in that wasteland, bringing us to loneliness and everything else, it just brings us to utter destruction. So in hope, we cry out to the Lord to satisfy the hunger and thirst of our souls. For his word is the bread of life. Which brings me a reference to John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And continuing on, "And his word and his water for thirst becomes a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And that brings up John chapter 4, verse 14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This person who is in distress hears the word. And calls out. And when he calls out, God hears him and answers him and leads him to a city not built by hands, not built by human hands, but by God himself. So in utter thankfulness, they thank the Lord for all his wondrous works in steadfast and enduring love. He satisfies their longing, hungry souls, and fills it with abundance of good things. Which brings me down to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. This pictures those who have won the lottery and have been deceived and led away from right living. Now the money is wasted and gone. The spiritual desert is visible with no worldly riches to fall back on. Then there's Matthew 18, verses 12 and 13. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray? Does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go search for the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. This is to be a picture of wandering away, being in distress, and God bringing us back into his flock. Then it brings us to Luke 1:53. It's Mary's song of praise. 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. And now we go to imprisoned, distressed, released, and thankful. Verses 10 through 16. Next is being imprisoned in ungodliness and in ungodliness with afflictions. One may have heard the word, been to church a few times, and even had opportunity to give his life to Christ, may or not have done so, and continued without any change in the course of life. Their sinful journey in life becomes an imprisonment with afflictions and nowhere to turn for comfort and peace. That brings me to Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 24. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see my members and other law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And as this person has no way of turning anywhere for comfort and peace, his memory comes to the saving word of God and appears a tiny light at the end of the tunnel. That afflicted individual who saved the Bible tracts and even miniature Bibles, stuck it in a container, digs it up, reads it, is awakened, but still has little understanding. That person crying out, which is praying to God, even though his faith is saint, God answers his cry. That brings us to Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. But Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. After God answering his prayers, this person attends church for a time and seeks the pastor and begins to pour out his afflictions to the pastor once he got talking to the pastor. Eventually, repenting of his sins and dedicating his life to Christ, that is when the bars and chains of confinement fall off and the freedom of a new life is experienced. A redemptive, wondrous work of our Lord. This brings a want to serve with much thanksgiving and praises to the glory of God. And now Romans chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Let me go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Then there's the brief warning of the conclusion of this segment is Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. And now we move on to the foolish, hungry, saved, and thankful. The two leading verses in this segment cover a fool and their distress. There is a believing fool and an unbelieving fool in our society today. The foolish believer is enticed in sinful pleasures. This person becomes entangled in ungodly relationships, begets a child, and the best thing to do in that situation is to get married, become a family, and then as time progresses, in due time, the demands of work, parenting, and marriage relationship becomes overwhelming. This relationship ends in divorce, child support, and alimony to pay, and also child custody. The battle for child custody ensues. All these become a huge strain on the body and spirit, resulting in other sins that deprive one of good health and even starving the body and spirit. This person calls unto the Lord. The Lord answers and is redeemed from all the distress and troubles that have happened. God leads them through the despair, and they give all thanksgiving and praises to him. And just for me to say, a true believer who is truly married in the Christian doctrines and everything, which I have seen, is from another brother that is married. I was sitting down with him and we were talking and he was like, yeah, I was outside working on my yard and my neighbor drove up and he says, yeah, how do you do it? I said, what? And he looked up and saw his wife alongside him cleaning up the yard. And his neighbor said, I can't get my wife to do that. How does your wife do that? And he turned to that guy and he says, because she was brought up well in the Lord. That was quite a bit of a witness to myself hearing that. I was like, wow, must be really nice to be married as a Christian, living the Christian life. So now, aside from that, let's move on to the unbelieving fool, who is raised in a sinful environment, with their parents thinking they raised up their child properly. This child was never disciplined by their parents. Growing up thinking they'll always get away with things in their sinful ways. As they mature, a Christian may bring the Word of God into their life sporadically, here and there, over time. But a slight sense of righteousness in that person is evident. As life with this person progresses, the foolishness in this person keeps them at bay, and a downward spiral is evident. In the descent of life, that descent being down, is happening, all goodness is set aside and turning to ungodly comforts that starve them of any good health and spirit, makes them cry out to the Lord in prayer because they remember the gospel that was heard a time ago. The Lord, in His providential grace and mercy, answers to bring light into their troubles, even at the very end, which is death. That brings us to Luke 23:39-34. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The redeeming work. You will be with me in paradise. This is the redeeming work. Takes place. And he or she thanks the Lord for His wondrous redemption and steadfast and enduring love. So then, in true faith and trust, they give thanksgiving and songs of praise for His glory, and He is worthy of it all. And I mentioned these verses in finality of this message. Is Matthew 7, verses 26 through 27. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And great was the fall of it." Then the next one is Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Then John 6:35, Jesus said to him, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes me shall never thirst." That's what I have for today, or for this week. And let's end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we just ask that your word work in us, and may we move about and proclaim you in a rightful manner to all those who are lost, and may we bring them to your light, and may your kingdom increase all the more. In Jesus' name, amen.